They counted me out, moment of truth, counting it down. Underdog story was down for the count. Back on my feet, back with a mic, back on the beat, back with a fam, let it bang in the streets. The game on lock, I stand with a key. Standing my ground, I am planning to flee. Standing my ground, I am planning my feet. Taking a stand, embracing my destiny, shaking his hand, flipping the script, changing the plans. Up to the top and I'm taking the fans. What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Thursday Night CrossFit Talk. And we have technical issues right off the top. Everywhere. Yeah, so we stream to Twitch. We stream to Twitter. We stream to Facebook. And we stream to YouTube. And as I launch tonight's broadcast, Twitch is having issues. And so I had to, like, clear out some stuff there and remove us from Twitch for this broadcast. So no Twitch tonight. And we deeply apologize for the Versus show buffering so much. We tried something different this week to see if we could get that figured out. Didn't work. We're going to keep trying, and I'm going to reach out to StreamYard to see what's going on with it, because we have done this type of broadcast before and it's never buffered. It's just started doing this with the Versus series for some reason. So all fun technical stuff. I thought when I was in my 20s, I would always be technologically savvy, and I've learned that I'm not anymore.
Yeah, I'm not.
So, yeah. I know how to plug in microphones now. That's about it.
Yeah.
So how was everybody's week?
Oh, great.
That was
good for me. I mean, it was a short week for school. We have this Friday, tomorrow and Monday off. So I drove home to Sarnia, which is my hometown, right after school today. So I'm home.
Nice.
And you have a big family, right? And are they all in for the weekend?
They will be. My one sister is missing. She'll be here Saturday, I think.
Is your twin there?
Yes, I saw her today.
Okay. You also had a good week because you got the official video verified. What was that process like? Did you just get an email saying, congratulations, you're good?
Yeah, essentially the email that I posted on my story was the email from Becky from CrossFit that sent us that. But like none of the videos got like individually verified like we get at quarterfinals. It was just that email that confirmed my placement. And then I went to the leaderboard to see if anything had changed in my numbers, and none of my scores had changed. I'm like, okay, I'm good. And then when I did that right away, I had noticed the change at the top and I was like, oh, someone got a penalty, and then knew right away like what workout and stuff.
Lex said she won $2,500 equal spousal split.
Sounds legit.
She also told me about equal spouse split when she paid for Coast and Cali's vaccines today or yesterday, sorry.
So the only bright side for Carolyn is when you convert that to Canadian, you're actually making more.
It'll end up being the same because we'll get like 30% withhold and stuff like that. So normally it's going to be like 3,500 American, which comes back to around 5,000 Canadian.
Okay. Yeah, 30%. Dang.
Yeah, that they always hold that.
Oh yeah. That's not just a Canadian thing.
No.
So any plans for it, or just put it away to pay for your season?
No, I'm just saving up for Lex and I, family stuff, future plans, maybe eventually a house or something, but just saving up.
Very cool.
I'm not a big spender.
Workout clothes, shoes.
Can't justify that stuff anymore. Like, I have too much.
Yeah, and you're like, are you still sponsored by Tier, or was that a one season?
Yeah, so that technically ended middle of March. I had like a 1-year contract, and then so that ended, and then I didn't get extended technically, but I mean, I'll still be wearing Tier. Like, I like their stuff. That won't change. So hopefully I can get back onto it. They said, like, if I make, let's say, like, the games or something, like, they would do another type of possible deal or something, like they do to some of the athletes at certain competitions. So hoping to get that again, because it was a really good partnership. It helped me a lot throughout my season for some of the expenses. So I was bummed that I wasn't able to re-sign something, but, like, I also don't have, like, an agent and stuff like that working to help me, like some of the other athletes do. So I guess Lex counts sometimes as my agent, but with less experience than some of the ones out there.
And she takes 50% split instead of.
Yeah, that's a hard taxing right there, Lex. I don't know about this agent now. Might need a new one. Might fire her.
Yeah. But you got to let them know you're on the original Thursday Night CrossFit podcast.
I know.
As Kenneth likes to always say, the original. Yeah, and you've placed fifth in the Open, that, and you've been on around the whiteboard. Like, you've probably had more exposure this season overall media-wise than you have in a couple years.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Probably. I mean, yeah, the Open helps. Around the whiteboard helps. I mean, the demo team last year was still a big opportunity. I think that was really big. I really enjoyed that. Hopefully I don't have to get to that point this year, but it was really a cool experience.
Yeah, we're all speeds ahead, games athlete, not demo athlete.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
Did you fill out your top 25?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I did it the day it came this time.
Okay.
You guys have to do one at the beginning of or at the end of each month for the beginning of the following month?
So off season was, like, just kind of sporadic, but it looks like now it's every month. Now that the Open has started. Let's hope it's better than last time. Now, last time I was in the hospital, so I missed submitting my ballot, but, like, they had people like Mal in the top 10 and people that announced they're not even competing.
Yeah, there's like 8-9 people on there. Like, you can't even, like, create a full list with, like, it's not good. Yeah, I had to write in like 4 people personally.
So, I actually this time took pictures of my ballot so I could actually remember the exact order of where I put people.
Well, and last year they released, like, every media person's picks, but he didn't do that this time around.
So he only did that one time.
Oh, okay. Was that the end of the season?
I think it's right before the games.
Right before the games. That's okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it all depends on how busy he is and how much he can put together. So mine's in. I've been pretty blatant about who I think is going to win the games on both sides. So that's who I went with. So I have Emma Lawson on the women's side and Jeff Adler on the men's side. To stick with the All Canadian podcast here.
I think those are very good picks.
So yeah, my women's is a little controversial, I'm sure. It's Emma, Laura, Tia.
I actually think mine might be the exact same. It either is Laura, Emma, Tia, or the same as yours. I'll have to look at my screenshot.
There's just a lot of unknown right now with Tia's wrist.
Yeah.
I almost moved her down because of the wrist.
Just I know.
We do them every month. So,
yeah.
You know, if we find out it's okay, I can move her back up. But
right.
But she has to get into that East semi, and that's not going to be an easy feat if you're not 100%.
Nope.
And it's been how long? It's been 2 months like that? Like, it's not just like arthritis stuff here. Like, I don't know what that is that she has, but it seems like there was a fracture or something to me.
So have you been like following the Frog Grips stuff?
I saw one video about it, but not much. Something about the Frog Grips and the stickiness or something of it.
Right.
When the wrist is really thick, the wrap around the wrist.
Yeah, it's a little bit. It's more almost like it's just grip lock. I mean, either they're so tacky that it's, but, or it's so long that it's getting grip lock and getting stuck. But the way, the one day when she was like, I think either at the omen or whatever, so the way she like pointed at what was going on, it looked like the people that have posted like their injuries from the grips. So I'm like, I don't know. I'm very curious what actually is going on.
Well, she's been used. She was using the Bear Complex for many years. Cause I remember I was like, oh, who's good at CrossFit? Oh, they're wearing Bear Complex. I'm going to order Bear Complex. Like that's, you know, you just look at who are the top athletes and what they're wearing. She's always been wearing Bear Complex. So when you switch, like you notice those difference, if it's hitting your wrist a little bit different, especially if you, you said it's thicker here. So as you're doing bar muscle ups, it might be putting pressure somewhere different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Colton switched to them too.
I did see that.
So yeah. I mean, I've heard they're like super tacky, but maybe they're too tacky.
There's this one company that I tried. They're like basketball material. I don't know if that's like the frog grips or not, but Lex uses them now. They're so grippy. I never had any grips like that, but you can't have like, it doesn't help to have chalk on the bar. So like, I didn't want to get used to them because I know at comp there's going to be chalk on the bar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not that I'm like a gymnast by any means, but I have the Element 26 chalkless grips. Mm-hmm. And for me, it just works best. Even just doing hanging knees raises, being a big guy, it just gives me that little extra grip so I can string together more than I could before. So I really like those. And I don't like to chalk. Like I don't chalk when I lift. I don't. So that's just me.
I do. I like the break.
You're saving a rest break. We'll take.
Oh, I can find ways to break. I can tighten those collars. I can adjust my wrist wrap straps. Whatever. I don't need chalk, but
yeah.
Lex says, "Games bound for Scott and games bound for Jamie and Carol."
Because she said, "How's the gym been?"
How's the gym?
So this week has been much better. I'm not way less sore. I still feel pretty weak. And today was horrible.
What was today?
There was no rest. So it was the ghost.
Oh, I love that one. Not. There's too many double unders.
Right. Well, it's a great workout to work on double unders. Because it's basically Fight Gone Bad style.
Okay.
Row cows, burpees, double unders. Minute rest. For 8 rounds. So you're doing double unders under fatigue. But my engine is so bad. By the time I got to the double unders, like I was sucking air so hard. Like it just was rough.
It's a hard workout.
It is, especially those last 4 rounds.
We program it at our gym normally like Halloween or at least another time in the year. It's like our affiliate owner's like favorite workout as well. It's a classic.
Yeah, if you want an engine workout, like it's the one. And that's what Thursdays are at Polaris. It is every Thursday is like a longer like engine type workout. Kind of a Christie specialty is like what we like to call it. So but yeah, it was bad, but I do feel better this week. Like my legs aren't, I actually put weight on my back for back squats this week. And I wasn't as sore as air squats the week before.
That's good.
So it was only 95 pounds. And it's funny because, like I logged it in Wattify that I checked my ego and Christy actually commented. Because I have not seen Christy since I've been back. Because she's been off to Houston doing all that kind of stuff. But she actually gave me a big thumbs up for checking my ego. And that's just where I am right now.
Nothing wrong with that.
And just got to get stronger.
Just consistency and then it starts going up.
Yeah. Like, again, big improvement from last week to this week. Just got to stay the course. Mm-hmm. Listen to my body. The one thing I found out I could not do is lay on my back under fatigue. That still is not real good for me.
What happens?
I just can't breathe.
Okay.
So like we did bench press on Monday as part of the workout. And when I laid back on the bench under fatigue, could not breathe. Warm up could rip out bench press. So it, I don't know. Cause that's what, like, that's what AFib affected the most was my lungs. And there was like a backup of blood in the heart and lungs. So I think that just hasn't fully flushed out yet. But I just, so I just did sitting ostrich press. So I could just keep moving. Same or similar stimulus and just kept moving. So do we want to get into the news of the week?
Yeah. Let's hit it.
We've already hit the Carolyn fifth in the open official. Hooray.
Yay. That's so cool. Crushed it, dude.
Then we're going to talk about Grace Walton. And when I talk about this, I want to talk about it, in my view, more overarching. So Grace had a video. It was looked at. She was in first place going into video submission. CrossFit looked at it, said in two of her muscle-up reps, her feet rose above the bar height, making them bad reps, gave her a 12-second penalty, which dropped her from first in the open to second in the open, and basically costing her $5,000. So I have a lot of thoughts about this, but I want to open it to you guys first. So your initial thoughts, the video's out there. I'm going to play it as you guys talk. And I want to hear your reaction to that.
When I first watched her video, like on the game's website, like I was normally, I just looked at, like, I won't even watch the whole video. I'll watch the beginning of it sometimes. Just, I want to see just people move. And I was like, oh, she moves well. It looks legit. Like it's good. Right. Like you just kind of look. And then I tend to always go fast forward to the end. And then I look at the time to see whether like it was an accurate finish and whether they tried to sneak in a second or something. I don't know. Like that's just my tendency. So when I first watched the video, I did notice right away that the feet were up on the last rep. And then I fast forwarded again. I was like, oh, let me see how it is under like fatigue, whether it changed throughout the workout. And I noticed the last three of the last four reps were high, but I didn't have like a huge problem because I was like, oh, she's legit. Like she's posted all her videos. She moves very well. She's fit, everything. It could be the angle. It does look above the bar, definitely from what I see. But
yeah,
it's just unfortunate because if you look at her original score, like it was like 9:30 or something like that. And if they're not looking at, so now it's like a 9:42 and there's a bunch of people in that like 9:30 range, like maybe like, I don't know, 7 to 10. But if they're not looking at those videos as well, that's the issue, because maybe some of those people would have their feet up a little bit and then she can still stay in first place. Right? Like if you're only looking at those ones.
Yeah.
It's just, it's unfortunate for her. It's kind of like, what's this, like that one, right? That's above. That's good. The 1 foot maybe. And then, wait, not that one.
Yeah.
That one's above.
That one was, yeah.
And then, I think she has two more left or three more left. So that one's the one that I would say is a no rep. Just looking. I mean, from that angle anyways. This one's good. Oh, it's above the line of that angle. That there. One's for sure over.
Yep.
Like it. But again, my perspective was like, she moves well. Like I was fine with it. Cause I'm like, she's legit. Like she's fit. Like I had no problem her winning. Like I was like, it's not like there was that many reps. It was like three reps. And I was like, eh. That was my initial reaction. I was like, eh, okay. Like, it's not, it wasn't like that bad. Like, it's like every bar muscle up was a glide. That was
right.
I threw Lex's comment up there because you were saying that, Carolyn, through your argument. So I just was putting it up there as additional in your favor. Jamie, any comments?
I mean, I just, for one, I don't know why they changed the wording and the rule this year. And I think that's getting a lot of talk. Like, so is it no longer any part of the foot of any even one foot can't rise above the bar? Like, that would have been pretty clear last year. Like, the way it was worded last year was if her toe would have, one toe would have popped up in front of higher than the bar, it's a no rep. And this one is like kind of subjective. They didn't do themselves any favor with the picture. Like, is it both feet and both heels, the entire foot? No idea. I just going off of history of the bar muscle up, like, know what I think, but I mean, I feel like there's a little bit of room for dispute there on her behalf because they went and changed the rule and showed a picture that I don't know if they can definitively say that both of her feet were heels over the bar. So I think that was maybe not in their best interest. Ken's comment here is hilarious. I hear they give less of a penalty for not submitting a video. it is so unfair. Like Tudor getting his huge penalty. And you know darn well there are people moving way worse than this that are not getting any type of repercussion. So it's like, I totally agree with Carolyn. Like, it wasn't egregious. It wasn't throughout her whole workout. Like, I watched this original and I was like, yeah, she moves pretty well. And yeah, there's a couple there that are like little bit questionable, but man, I saw so many, you know, like you as a CrossFitter see it, you see those glide kips and you're like, well, that's clearly all that person can do. And that's how they're getting all these reps. If she would have had an 8-10 score, it would have been probably like, even like Carolyn and I probably would both be like, man, I don't know. But it wasn't like this, like, top five in the world score. Like, she didn't, I don't know.
Yeah. So my problem with it is the angle.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
the angle is the camera is below the bar with an up angle to her. So if you're close, it's going to look like it's over.
Yeah.
Because the depth of field will have the foot larger than the bar. Therefore, it looks like it's going to be over. And from that distance, there's no way to know. So for CrossFit to make these definitive penalties against her and Tudor, and again, let the person that didn't even submit a video win her event, it just seems like they're picking who they want to receive the penalty.
Yeah. And like Jamie said, with the feet, like, they had the same type of wording last year with the V-ups, right? It was like, wasn't it feet? And it was like, what part of the foot? Like, the toes were all of a sudden the feet. So on the bar muscle, are we still considering that the same thing as the last year's V-up where, I mean, the toes are part of the feet. I've always known the feet, the toes cannot go above the bar.
That's how I judge people as well. And how, like, but.
And then you have to kind of give benefit of the doubt technically to a certified judge that is right there at that angle watching that.
Look where he's standing.
Right. Like he's on the side.
He is literally.
So you have to kind of give benefit of the doubt if it's an unsure angle.
He is literally holding on to the bar, the rig, to look right where he needs to look. And we have Andrew Sten, who is a high-end judge. Like, it is close, but again, he agrees with me. The angle and the distance, I don't think you call them no reps, but CrossFit does say, if in doubt, you no rep them.
Right.
But they say that in this case, but they didn't. There were so many videos that didn't even get looked at that could have affected who won the open.
Like, even if she got that 12-second penalty, she could have still won had they continued down between her score and her new score, if they looked at any of those girls' videos and those girls get bumped out, what does she need for points? Not that many points, right? That she needed to...
four or something?
Yeah, like so she needed points. Four people to get penalties. Well, she would have lost the tiebreaker to...
okay, so five.
So 5 points that she would have needed. Yeah.
And I think it was Lex that said in here, conspiracy theory, CrossFit didn't want her to win because she doesn't go to an affiliate.
Yeah, that's...
that does make sense, right? And it's like, go to an affiliate where you get your certified judge. And I mean, you can still have a certified judge if you're not an affiliate, but...
I kind of even like that worse. Like, that's encouraging the no video. Like, them saying... I don't love that. It's always been one of my biggest things with, like, one of my beefs with the Open and CrossFit. And, like, just show up at an affiliate and someone's gonna validate your score. Like, that person did not watch my video. I almost feel like the judge that judged you needs a secondary approval link. Then the affiliate manager maybe can go through those. Maybe they have the sheets. But like, I want to know if I judged you that you didn't write 11:21 instead of 12:21.
Yeah, because like, who's to say? Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So like, if you're putting me as a judge, I want to be able to click off on it and be like, yup, I did judge that. And that was their time. And that way you're not getting people just putting any judge down. And then it's just, because say that the affiliate manager is like, they're not there watching every single person go. And I bet you most of them don't keep everyone's sheet and like confirm that what the time that they entered was correct, because there's a ton on there that have tie break times that are inconceivable. Did the affiliate manager decline those? No, they just went through and approved. They went check, all in.
Here's my final
thought. I think that's a good point though, Jamie, where it's like, you can judge someone, you can write your judge, like you can sign the scorecard, but that person's still writing in their score in the CrossFit Games website, and you don't know whether they made a mistake and then they have your name as a judge, but they could shave off a few seconds or what, you know, you have no idea. So having that, you would get a notification of all the people you judged, and then you would be like, yes, or something. Could be.
Yeah. I mean, theoretically, that's the two pieces of the sheet, right? The affiliate manager gets the one that the judge filled out and goes right to the affiliate manager to be able to compare. That's trusting the affiliate manager that they're going to actually look.
There's just so much trust going on in these online competitions in general.
Yeah.
Nick makes a great point. I like to pretend it's pro sports. The ref said they're good reps, not enough video evidence to overturn the call. Case closed.
That's a good
point. And I like that too.
Yeah. In conjunction with that, like, why, like, are, if you go to the leaderboard right now, are all five or all three videos of all five of those athletes visible? Because if I was Grace, I would want to see all my competitors' videos as well. Like,
yeah, for sure.
But you're putting me on blast and I don't even get to like see anything else. Like, everyone, all, if like those videos should all just go public.
So like when I do like a rogue challenges, for instance, so you can like hide your video at first when you first submit.
Yeah.
And then every time they'll always post the videos of the top five people.
Yeah.
For all the challenges. So like you could have put it private, but now it's up there. If you're in the top five. I like that. That's a good idea.
The other thing I think that would be a step in the right direction is if you're going to penalize someone, then you make the video public. And you say, we're penalizing them for reps 33 and 28.
Yep. 608 had an O-rep for this.
Arbitrary two, and now you go figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And like with Tudor, it was just consistent not doing it. What the hell does that mean?
Yeah, and we never even saw his video to even know what it even looked like. right? Or did we see it somewhere? Right.
I never saw the video
of him doing it. They just gave him like a huge penalty, a 20% decrease in his score. And we never even saw to what angle did he have.
Lex says, glad Kips are slower. This is a dumb penalty anyways. She's not shortening the rep to cheat and be faster. But in under fatigue, it does give her a bigger boost.
It does. Because she would have had to come down. She like she maybe would have failed that rep had she not brought her feet that high. And so, like, I'm not saying the penalty isn't, like, a correct penalty for that penalty. I don't know if she should have gotten it, per se, in this instance. But, like, I do think they need to be stricter with the glide kips. Either, like, they need to either figure out if they want to just allow them. And this kind of goes back with the, like, the V-ups or, like, certain movements where it's, like, we're not critiquing how you're doing the movement. We're just, if you do a snatch, are you getting from the ground to overhead? Do we allow this? Because they sure do in 55 plus. Go watch any older person snatch. So, like, if you aren't critiquing the movement, then is it just get from point A to point B? Then maybe we need to, like, reconsider how we're...
And this is what sucks, in my opinion. The rules there, because it's obvious Gracie was not trying to cheat the system.
No,
I agree. If she did it illegally, it was inadvertent in just the course of her trying to complete the workout. But you do have those people out there that will glide kip the hell out of these to get all of their muscle ups, right?
Yes.
And you
don't want them affecting the leaderboard.
Right.
Right. But then we get to that line of, like, is it good? Is it bad? And right when you're right at that line, it makes it rough. And that's where CrossFit has been so behind the curtain about their decisions and what they do, that it just leads you to believe they're not doing it in the best interest of the athletes.
Agreed. I mean, yeah, just, I think it needs to be more clear cut. They need to be more transparent if they want it to trickle down the correct way. And then they aren't.
Yeah. I'm just asking for transparency. Just tell me what reps. You only had 10 people to look at. You could tell me what reps you don't. Because you know, like, Boz is sitting there going, check mark on that one, X on this one. And he could tell you 33 and 28.
Yeah. Well, normally they would have had multiple judges overturn that, right? They're not just going to go off one judge.
Well, do we know that? Is that the rule?
Normally, yeah. I would say, yeah.
I think they said that multiple judges would review.
Dave Eubanks, I think, on a podcast before said that, like, one person will review it, then it goes to the team where then they kind of make a decision or something like
that. So I know that is quarterfinals and on. Because that's when the team that they've hired starts at quarterfinals. And then that team is like the first level. They make recommendations up, then the next level finishes them off. None of that has been said for the Open. There is no team reviewing this initially other than the main CrossFit HQ.
I would assume more than one person looked at it and they agreed. I mean, I can't imagine one person made this decision. It was like, nope. If I was going to make that final call, I'd be like, hey, anyone else agree, disagree? Wadzami here says, if we're trusting Emily Claus judge, why not Gracie's? Well, that goes, and Lex says, because Grace is not at an affiliate. So we give all trust to affiliates.
We're trusting Emily. We don't care about Emily's because she now just doesn't get the money. But these ones were for money. She could have maybe have kept her first place, but then just doesn't get money.
All right.
If she doesn't send her video. But again,
long as CrossFit exists, we'll have these questions. Just like in the NFL, everybody rips the referees. I think it happened. What, wasn't everybody upset the other night at the officiating and the Iowa game, Carolyn? that Caitlin got some calls?
35 or something like 30 to like 5 free throws or something.
Yeah, it was definitely one way. So we want to talk about Carolyn on Beyond the Whiteboard. Not Beyond the Way, Around the Whiteboard.
Around the Whiteboard. Sponsored by Beyond the Whiteboard.
So what was the experience like? Any when you get in there, are you done? Is anything done ahead of time? Or do we see
I got the questions the day before. Like Peter sent them to me on my Instagram, or Pedro for how you guys call his name's Peter, but he sent the questions. I've known
this Peter for a lot longer.
On Instagram, so then I looked over them. Lex and I had discussions about each question on what points we thought were important. And then I had like backup stuff in case things were already taken, essentially. It was good. Lex was like putting pressure on me to make sure that I don't get muted because I can ramble sometimes. She's like, you need to watch the clock and not talk for too much and get your points across. So I tried doing that, and then I was on time for all of my 1 minute. And then even the 20 seconds, I never got muted. So
you were close. Peter was like, I was almost.
Yeah, the one time I got really close to get muted.
So my opinion, for the quality of answers given, you by far were stuck to the question and answered the question the best.
I thought so too, but Lex told me I was too boring. she goes, you're too boring. Colton's funny, so he's going to get some points. So I understood her point of view. But I did think my questions or my answers had more material, but Lex just wants to, what'd you say? Add some personality. No, I think her exact words were probably I was boring. She's like, you need to swear or something.
Yeah, that's not genuine for everybody. I liked listening to you. Like, I don't need to hear Colton say that that's a terrible question. Like, I don't know. It's not a, I guess, what's the point of his show? Are we actually discussing the topics and giving answers, or are we just
most of the
trying to be snarky?
Most of the questions were kind of, there wasn't many like two sides, right? There are kind of obvious answers. So I think that's why we didn't have as much kind of like banter, because you couldn't really be like, no, I disagree with that. I actually think this.
Yeah.
Right. If you had some of the questions that were a little bit more controversial or just more opinionated on the two sides, it would have been more interesting. Even in the rebuttals in the 20 seconds, you could have been disagreeing a little bit more. But when I looked at the questions, like I thought there was clear, obvious answers to me anyways. And it seemed like the other two, Ant and Colton, thought so as well.
Yeah, it's got to be tough because we're not in the most exciting time of the season. Right? Like, you guys got the draw in between the open and quarters. There's not a whole lot to talk about. And when you have three athletes on, I don't think affiliate type questions are the best questions to ask.
No, and that's what I had told Lex. I was like, I don't think they'll ask anything about affiliates because I don't think, I mean, but Ant's an affiliate owner, he said. I mean, technically, so am I.
It's for the views. This is Lex again. Carolyn answers were the best. Colton tied because he was sassy with pizzazz.
It's true. He could have won just with his last answer, not even answer, but his last comment on Max and Training Think Tub and all that stuff.
I have that pulled up.
Oh my gosh.
Because I don't know if you guys saw, but from that, there is now a one-on-one competition happening in a week or so.
Did you see that Max changed his profile bio on Instagram also?
I did not.
You have to go to his profile as well and look at the bio that he put on his account.
Okay. I'll do that after we play Colton's response.
It's 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I have a question. I have a question for you.
Okay.
Are you having Max Ohag on tomorrow?
Yes.
Why?
Why?
Max Ohag over at the Training Think Tub. Those guys, they're an abomination to the sport. Max Ohag is an absolute menace. They have their own podcast, the Corpus Anus podcast. And I heard them say the most ridiculous things, like the Jake German is the best in the burpees at CrossFit. And I just can't believe he would say that. Me next to him in a burpee workout, I would end this man's life. They should pray that he never has that fate. I cannot believe you're having...
This is just 30 seconds.
Is this what you were going to use your 30 seconds for? Is this your plan for if you won?
My plan was actually to concede my final minute and just use the whole minute to say it because I didn't think I was going to win.
Beautiful. When I first met Colton, we did his first ever podcast. We couldn't get him to say three words.
He's bought into this to this new personality. Maybe it's been his personality the whole time, or he's, you know, it's working for his image and sponsorships and stuff like that, and he's just kind of running with it. And I think it's helping his brand. Like that's how he's branding himself. It's great.
Well, and he does make a point, like in one of his answers, like the key to this whole thing is being authentic. Like, don't just clam up and answer what you think people want to hear when you do interviews. Be authentic. And apparently it's working for him. Like, he's getting more sponsors than many of the top 10 athletes. He's become a legend with his remarks and his background story. You know, the pig farmer from Iowa. Short and stature,
he wins workouts.
Yeah. So from this, let me go to, so Jake Berman actually posted on Instagram Colton's setup for bar facing burpees, which had like a 2.5 change plate on each side of the bar.
I did see that.
And so that went back and forth. And now, I think it's next week.
Next Wednesday.
Yeah. Barbell Spin is going to air
100 burpees
for 100 time. Burpees for time.
Bar facing.
Yes. Between Colton Mertens and Jake Berman. We need more of this. We need as much of this as people will put out. It's only going to help the athletes get more exposure. And it entertains us all. You know, Wads on me had a great idea with Fit Wars. We just got to keep it going. And we've seen with Taylor versus the World and now this, like, people get excited over this.
Reps on Reps or whatever it's called or something that's coming out.
Reps Ahead.
Reps Ahead. That's another type of one-on-one matchup stuff. You got to go, Scott, to Max's Instagram. I don't know if it's still there. I have to see. I think it was there earlier. I like when people lean into stuff. He leaned into it. Oh, he switched it.
Okay.
But if you go to his story, He had put it on his story.
Why isn't... Is A-L, right? Max A-L...
E-L. Max space... Or Max... E-L. Okay, all together for his Instagram. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I got it.
It would be on his story. He reswitched his bio.
Okay.
I don't know if you can zoom in. Yeah.
Yep. Coach Fitness Number One Menace, brewing people in the think tank tub like Jake Berman, who have the fastest burpees in the game.
Great.
All of this is brilliant. Brilliant to grow the sport. The trash talking, the back and forth. Now we're going to have it out on the floor. I think that's going to be great.
Predictions?
I think Colton's going to win.
Oh, Colton.
I think it's going to be close, though. Jake is extremely fast, but he's no Colton. Colton's... There's only one. There's no one beating him in that stuff. Like, he's literally the best.
He's the best, and he's the guy that's willing to die for the reps. Like,
it's funny because my mom's in the background sitting down the odd time. She'll be like, yeah, he's the best. And like chimes in a little bit on some of the responses. My mom's into this chat right now.
Awesome. So super stoked about that. So super happy about that. Next up on the agenda, did everybody get a chance to see the Danielle Brandon documentary?
Sure did.
Thoughts?
It was good. Yeah.
I loved it. I don't know much about her background. I was very impressed just like athletically, like what she did growing up and how sports was her coping mechanism for the crazy stuff that was going on at home, and just to see how she turned out. Like, it gives you a different perspective on other people's lives. And like, it's just you got to see a side of her that, like, cause like, I know her, like when I compete against her, but I don't know her. Right. So I really enjoyed it. It's really, really good.
While watching it, like I was very curious to hear her background, like how she grew up and stuff. But when Savan called Taylor and Taylor commented that there was one thing that soured it for him, I immediately, like, we're on the couch and I was like, guarantee he says Cooper Marsh. Taylor was like, Cooper Marsh, when he said the flipping the birds. I had the exact same reaction watching it. And that, like, when I finished, I was just like, the whole, like, not the whole thing, but like, it feels a bit scripted. And the big thing is, like, she's genuine. And even Dave says that, like, you just need to be genuine. But like, I have this other niggling question, like, is it a little bit scripted? Like, I mean, it's like Cooper, like, told her to do that, so she did it, and he knew exactly what that was going to do in that situation. Like, he's a great agent for a reason, and he has taken her very far. So I don't know, maybe that's just my, like, the way my brain works, but that was my immediately thought. And when Savan called Taylor and Taylor said that, I was like, that was exactly how I felt watching it.
So, okay. So I thought the background story was a 10 out of 10. Everything about how she grew up, the stuff she had to deal with, all of the FBI, the jails, the
drugs,
stealing that stuff from her mom and disposing of it as a child, like the relationship with her brother and what happened when she had to get out of the house. Like, that broke my heart.
Yeah.
All of that, 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
The high school teacher that helped her out, that got her, made sure she saw that she had an opportunity to go to college, fully paid, like, and made sure that happened. Like, the family that bought her a computer, all of that stuff was so freaking cool. Mm-hmm. When we get to the CrossFit stuff, I knew most of, like, her journey. Again, since I started this podcast, we've been trying to follow people before they were famous. So yeah. I knew her before Mayhem, when they said in the movie, like, nobody knew who she was till after the Mayhem Classic. We've been following her for a little bit before then. So I knew all of that stuff. Okay. The part where it goes off the rails for me a little bit is the underdog story. And I don't know if it's how close I am with Justin that it just irked me. And the person who irked me was Cooper. It wasn't Danielle. It was him sitting off to the side saying, they just needed to have an adult conversation. And I'm just thinking, like, I'm sure that was tried. This wasn't a one-time deal that made this happen. And they did kind of talk about that, but Cooper kind of just made it all this moot point and they were just being immature. So, like, and yeah, I like Cooper. I mean, like, I've gotten along with Cooper a lot, but this did nothing for me and my viewpoint of Cooper.
Yeah, because he just basically says, I don't think she should have been let go. And, like, that he, that quote, Kotler was wrong. Lex.
But it made me, it made me, like, sensitive towards Kotler, though. Like, when you can see how much Kotler, like, has, I mean, he has so much passion for his athletes. Like, the way he supports his athletes is crazy, right? You, like, everyone from the outside just sees it. It's like, I felt for him because it kind of made it look like he threw her under the bus right before the games, which, I mean, technically, yes, right? Like, but, like, she had, like, kicked her out. But there's other, I feel like there's a lot left out, and we're seeing the one side a little bit more, or, I mean, I don't know.
So that was the other thing. Like, the Mac ended, and she says, and I went back and just was sitting by the pool, and I get fired. It was a month later that she got fired. And there were other things that happened in that month for that to happen. To gloss over it like that was just, and there's Justin, like, giving out his heart and soul and saying how much it hurt him and how much affection he has for her to this day. Like, that was tough for me because that's my friend. And I know how he felt about her. And he talked about it all the time, that he wanted her to win the games and mm-hmm. thought she had every bit of talent to do so.
He was nonstop talking about her. Like, at the Mac, like, his passion in the stands, everything, you're like, wow. Like, not only is Danielle such a talented athlete and fit athlete, but she now has the support and the coach. And, like, you knew she had a rough background, that it was almost like a father figure from the outside, right? Like, it was like, now she can actually go and win the games because she has someone that's believing in her when maybe she doesn't always believe in herself, right? And that's the kind of, like, relationship that you saw from the outside.
She said that in the doc herself, that he was like a father figure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that, like, I wasn't upset at the way what Danielle had said.
No.
There are hurt feelings there that I am hoping someday the two of them can come together and build a bridge back. But, man, the way Cooper dealt with it, it just upset me.
Yeah, I agree. Well, and Elise says, it sounded like it was either he let one athlete go or lose multiple. Is Cooper not an agent for any one of those other, like, 10 athletes that were at Underdogs at that time? Because he had to have had responses from those coaches and athletes who had told Kotler they were going to pull
only
out.
Bethany.
And she was kind of already on the outs of that, like, leaving that camp. Well, moving, so not being there.
If you remember the next season, she had hurt her back.
Yes.
In the open. Could
and
not
I think she had already moved to.
And she was getting married.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So he didn't have. So he didn't have any direct contact with. I mean, who all was there? Annika, Kyra,
Alex.
Alex, yeah. DeLugos. There was a lot. Probably
Nikki
like 10.
Started.
Yeah. I'm sure it was the girls more than anything, but you, like, at some point, Cooper's got to take a business look at that from Kotler's side and be like, I mean, yeah, like, he can't lose the other, even like, she might be great and she might be great for the sport and your brand. But like, if it's going to stop anyone else from coming there, how great in the end is it going to be? And you would think I understand he like really wants to have her back. Like, I'm glad she has someone in her life still that's like continues to support her the way he seems to be. But if she watches that back and can't see the love from Justin still, that's sad.
If you watch the Lauren interview with Danielle, I would say it's reciprocated from her.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, you could see the emotional.
The whole time she was at Brute, she was telling them, "You're not, you don't care about me like Cutler did. You don't." So, and she said that flat out in that other interview, that she missed the way she was coached by Cutler,
and how he believed in her, and like, but like, you know,
nobody believed in me like he did. Like he, she kept saying that, and so like, you can tell on both ends, they still love each other, in a way that none of us will ever know, like coach athlete, but, and I'm hoping at some point in time, they can come to a reconciliation. That's what that documentary gave me hope for, and that underdogs aspect.
Well, she's clear. I mean, she's clearly hurting, and like has always felt like she's cast aside and not wanted, and like that. I'm that did nothing for her. I'm sure like that just piled on top of everything else that bad that's happened throughout her life. And I felt for her in that instance, but at some point you also need to look at your actions, mannerisms, and how you treat other people and like do some critical thinking there too. Like,
yeah, I agree. It was so overall, I give the entire documentary probably an 8. With the background stuff, a 10, the CrossFit stuff, like a 7, 6.5. And then together, like an 8.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I liked it. I just thought like the timing of it was interesting. It's like middle of the season. Like, I don't like, wasn't sure on the timing of it. And then they didn't go much into like the after like Brew, like a little bit with Dallin, but kind of like where she is now
by name.
I agreed. No mention of Matt.
No mention.
Yeah, there was no mention of Matt. Not once. It was Dallin.
Yeah, I thought that was strange.
So I don't know what's going on there. Maybe that's the sequel. But for timing wise, and I was watching Spin last night. It makes perfect sense to me. This is the boring time of the season with no good content. If you can put out good content now, people will flock to it. And when I checked, when I woke up this morning, it had like 38,000 views already. And I'm sure it's piled them on today.
Yeah. And I guess now people will be like rooting for her even more so. I mean, she's probably one of the most popular athletes anyways, but I'm sure they're behind her even more and have a better understanding.
I hope the reason behind it is what she said, hoping that other people that were in my situation will see this and draw inspiration from it. But when you learn what she went through and kept her grades up and got a full ride scholarship, like that blows me away. Huh. So yeah, and I agree with Elise. It was probably filmed a while ago.
Yeah, but they
Danielle part.
They were together at the games. And they have a ton of games coverage. They were together at semis.
What do you mean, Brute?
Her,
I'm talking
and Matt.
About timing. I'm talking timing wise.
Oh.
Yeah, like it probably was filmed last season. They edited it through the fall. Editing takes a long time, trust me.
Oh, well, she said this seemed to end around the time she would have gotten with Matt, and I don't necessarily agree with that. Like, I think there would have been plenty of, I would say she clearly doesn't want any part of her love life in.
Which, I mean, makes sense, because it's like, if you're going to do a documentary, I don't think that I would want, like, especially if you're not with that person anymore, like you don't want to be remembering, like I want it to be a documentary that you can like look at for the rest of your life and go back to it. I don't know. And she doesn't want that part. And if it's no longer relevant, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on. We're at the hour mark. We need to land this plane. So I wanted to talk quickly about my coach, owner of my gym, going to Houston, kicking ass and taking names. Christy O'Connell goes to Houston, does a High Rocks. We all said it on this show before she went. She was going to crush it. Not only did she crush it, she had one of like the 60-second fastest time ever at a High Rocks event.
23rd, I think.
And her first ever one.
And like she said that, like she didn't even know like the order of the stuff. She didn't even know like where to go for transitions. Like if she actually like this was like her test, her first full test run of what the hell this thing is about. Like you're shaving a lot of seconds if you actually know where you're going and how the routes are. You know, like she can only go up, I think, from here.
In an hour and 4 minutes, and some change. The fastest in the world, I think, is 58 minutes.
Yeah, that girl's a beast.
So you're only talking like, and that's of all time, not this year. That is of all time. And she was a former CrossFitter too. Michelle Weeks, right?
Lauren Weeks.
And that was her first one. You know she's shaving time off of it. Yeah. She didn't even know how to work the automated wall ball counter.
I know. She's throwing.
Did you hear that? Like,
yeah, she's over
all above the counter thing. So she was getting no rep for a while.
I didn't know that was there. So I'm glad she pointed that out, because I would do the exact same thing.
So, yeah. So she didn't know any of that stuff going in. You got to think she takes a couple minutes off just knowing what she's doing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I'm anxious.
It's not surprising, though, at all. She's one of the best runners, if not, you know, top runner that we've had in CrossFit. Consistently, basically a top 10 athlete at the games. Like, she's always been one of my favorites to follow. I think that she's super talented.
What I thought was cool in her little mini documentary of it is these High Rocks athletes are coming over, wanting their picture with her, saying that you're an inspiration because you're a shorter athlete and I look up to you because I can relate to you. I don't know how many people have told me on the road, tell Christy she's an inspiration. I'm a shorter athlete and she's my favorite because of that. Like 100 people have told me that.
Yeah.
So super cool. Affiliate Town Hall today announced some stuff about the quarterfinals.
Sure did.
Did you guys see that? No floor plans will be released until the workouts are released.
Yep.
And there will be 4 workouts. Spin did point out in his article that does not say only 4 scored events. It only says 4 workouts.
Correct.
So thoughts on that?
And what I didn't know, and maybe this was public knowledge before, but I saw that there was just the 2 submission windows, Saturday and Monday. I fully expected it to be the like Friday, Saturday, or Saturday, Sunday, Monday, like it has been in the past, like a 2-2-1 thing. But with only the 4 workouts, I guess it sort of makes sense. I'm shocked there's only 4 workouts, to be honest. Even if there's 2 two-parters, I'm still shocked.
With that long of a window, it almost just gives too much time.
Agreed. That's what I've liked about the 5 workout, 6 scores type thing, like in 4 days. Like, good luck if you redo one of those, because you're going to be hurting. And like, you got to be smart about that. I wanted to... Like, yeah, I don't want that. I want it to be like an in-person comp as much as possible. Here's your 24 hours. Here's the code. Do the workouts and get in, submit it. And then I'll give you the code for the next one, because you can't do it before till I give you the code. Like, I want you and I to do workout 1 and 2 on day 1 together. Not you get in workout 3 and because that was your weakest, and then maybe you beat me at 2 because you were able to strategize something because you're in Europe and you have 12 extra hours or something before you go to bed. Like, I don't want any of that. I want, here's workout 1, do it. Here's workout 2, do it. Here's workout 3, do it. Just like a comp would be, everyone does them in the same order, 1 time.
The only thing with that is because they're extending it at 25%, like, you have to allow people that have jobs during the week or weekend, whatever, to plan accordingly. Like,
if it's 1 workout, they do a class.
Yeah,
right.
A Like, I'm tired of that. Because this is really like, this is qualifying for the semis is going to be really freaking hard.
Very hard.
And at this point, the elite athletes have to have a fair competition that is evenly spread out over different modalities, different aspects.
There's going to be a max lift that's going to count for 20%. There's going to be a part two that's going to be a max lift with 25% of the people that are like not fatigued going into the max lift, and then they're going to pull up big numbers. And if it's a bad lift for you, good luck making that top 40.
Exactly.
Like
there better be minimum work week requirement. It better be like 6 rounds for time in this time. If you finish the work, you get this. Like, you can't, I don't feel like it can be like our semifinals workout last year that was started with hands, wall facing handstand pushups. And there were people who did zero who got to get a lift in and beat me out on the leaderboard and pushed me down. Like that kind of stuff. When you have 25, you have people who we have no idea if they got one bar muscle, probably barely no skills. They're just going to come in and finally John Young finally gets his barbell and lifts something so heavy without necessarily having the fitness to, which is the bottom of the pyramid. Let's make sure you have that first. Like, are we going to get another workout, like workout three, like to make sure people have the fitness? I mean, you clearly need that workout, a very similar workout again, to make sure like someone like Brooke or Tia don't get through if they aren't healthy enough to get through. Like, you can't be like, well, we already tested that. People got through on that. That baby shouldn't get through.
I'll take Jamie doesn't want Brooke or Tia to make it into semis.
I listen, yeah. I hope they're recovered by then. I just don't want anyone to be able to limp in, like, because it got tested.
I'm just giving you shit. Because another hot take from Coach Krispy Kreme. HQ has never had to program a more important set of tests ever. More important than any open, semis, or games prior. The window for elite athletes is so freaking small.
And the workouts are the same from 16 to 54.
Correct.
Which is crazy. And then Dave has said that it's going to be like everyone can start them, right? Like you can start them. Right. So obviously like a max lift, if it's a max lift, like everyone can start that. And then you're just going to your own capacity versus a lot, like, I don't know. And then do they have like rope climbs and GHDs and stuff? Cause like 25%, like there's a lot of gyms don't have 15-foot ceilings, like big warehouses. Yeah, they do outside of big cities. But if you're in a big city, if you're in New York, if you're in Chicago and stuff, and you're just like smaller affiliate with like downtown, like you don't have 15-foot ceilings in certain parts of the country. GHDs, like how many do gyms have? Like if you're Mayhem, you have like 50 of them. But most gyms have what, like 1 to 4 or 5? And you got like a bunch of people needing to do the workouts. Like, do they include that? Or maybe now they don't include that.
ACR heard a rumor that Jamie doesn't like Tia or Brooke.
That is Kenneth, what?
After a deep dive, has discovered because they're not Canadian.
I've got no rebuttal. It may be true.
Coach Krispy Kreme back in the comments. I think of this quarters in the context of the precedents it will set and the impact it'll have on the majority of the competitive CrossFit community.
Yeah, it's going to be really telling on, like, if there is a lift, it is going to push the entire space into heavier, stronger. And they like really need to decide, does the base of the pyramid mean a little bit more, or are they just going to push strength?
Jamie, you've been awarded a point from Chris.
Oh, thanks.
Carolyn's done with the points.
I was going to say something and I forgot my.
No, I think Tristan has made an excellent point. And he said it way better than I could ever say it. This this round of this year's season is so freaking critical. Like, and I don't think people understand that. I don't know if they
care about the 40th athlete.
I totally agree.
Like, look at the cuts at the games. I mean, I was at dinner with Dave and I told him that I didn't like the cuts like last year when I was on the demo team. And like, they don't, like, the top people are still going to rise to the top. And at the end of the day, like, if you're making it 40th, like, in their mind, like, you're probably not making it to the games anyways. Like, and those athletes are very dependent on workouts, which is like everyone minus, you know, five people per region maybe that can go on any workout. But I don't know.
I think Taylor made a great point today on Shut Up and Scribble. CrossFit only cares about the top five.
Yes.
If the top five get the whole way through, if Brent, Pat, Roman, Ricky, and Jeff all make it through, they're happy. And they could care less about the however the rest fall.
Yeah.
They care that Tia, Laura, Emma, probably Ariel now, they and Alex make it in, and the rest they could care less.
Yep.
Like, I hope not. I hope that they're like, I feel like they're, I mean, they know that this, they know, right, that this is important. They know, right, that they need to program like pretty good workouts now for top 40. Like, I hope that they're taking it like seriously and really thinking about the combination of movements and how many workouts and scored events. Like, the more the better, the more precise it's going to be for the field. Like, four events, if there's only four events, that sucks.
There won't be.
There's no way.
Just to let the strong guy talk. I laugh every time the complaints about the lifts come in. You always have to lift with a high heart rate. It really drops your numbers. But that elevated heart rate means it's all metabolic condition. And he ran out of space, so he finished it. But we have not tested strength at all. Just take it out of the pyramid if we aren't testing it.
But we don't need to be the strongest. We need to be strong enough. And you could test strength under, like, muscular fatigue. Say, like, basically last year at the end of the Open, it was that wall walks, a snatch, double unders maybe were in there. Was there double
yeah,
unders?
Yeah,
and it was like handstand push up, yeah, and a little bit heavier. Like, that one, you're testing strength under like muscular fatigue of the shoulder. And then you could also do kind of like a shuttle run and also strength under a high heart rate. But you don't need to be top end strength. Like, you just need to be strong. Like you can't make it through if you're weak, but you still have to test strength. But we're saying to have one scored event be
just a lift.
Like, yeah, just a one movement. Just a lift. I say monostructural, but that's not what I meant. Single modality.
The
1 year they had the burpee that you had to complete to earn your right to lift.
Yes, exactly.
I had to redo that to be able to get my lift in.
No, the double dumbbell squat and the burpee, bar facing burpee, double dumbbell squat. You had to finish
18.2A or whatever it was.
Yep.
You had to finish the 10 rounds. If you didn't finish the 10 rounds, you didn't get to do B. Yes. I'm good with that. What LDY is saying here, though, I laugh every time the complaints come in about the lifts. You always have to lift with a heart rate. That's bull crap. There's tons of work. We've had tons of workouts that have not said that you have to have a high heart rate. We've had 4-rep front squat, completely its own workout, single modality, not under a high heart rate. We've had, you could have literally just done, walked some shuttles and done 10 burpee pull-ups and sat there for the rest 10 minutes and been completely fresh and hit a crazy thruster. So no, you can't tell me that you always have to lift with a high heart rate. Like, if they're going to test just lifting, I just don't agree with it. Not at this stage. Like, I'm totally fine with earning the lift,
But this goes not only just lifting. You can't just have a gymnastics, just have a, like, we're not just like just a single modality specialized workout as one of the four or five scored events can really skew. Like, I want to see just couplets and triplets and, yeah, like, one's testing just pure capacity. One's got maybe, you know, gateways that you just kind of progress through stuff. You can have a great test still like that.
Oh, yeah. Like, I love the workout at 18.3 or whatever, the ascending squat cleans with the toe bar and the double under.
19.2.
Like, you had to be fit enough to get to the final barbell.
Uh-huh.
Like, those are great workouts. And some people can't get there because they can't keep doing the double unders or the toe bar. And some people just can't get past the fourth barbell weight. And great, the top 40 are going to rise. Like, those are perfect workouts.
Or you get there and you have no grip strength left, so the bar just flies out of your hand.
Okay.
That's me. That's this guy.
Yes, Ken, preach. You want to lift heavy, switch over to Olympic or powerlifting. Go to a lifting sport if that's what you want to do.
I think placed in the right spot, heavy lifts are a good thing. But I am not a big fan of just a one, unless you're at the games with 12 events or 15 events. Like, a one rep max on its own is just not something I want to see at this stage of the competition.
And, like, addressing Tristan's point here, like, if you bring that one up, like, would you be okay with a lift at the other events? No, because I don't want single modalities, all of them to be like single modality specialist type workouts here. We need MGW, like couplets, triplets, and really testing a broad, like, broad things. Like, I don't think I want, like, that's like, I don't think that would be a good test. It's very skewed towards specialists.
Agreed. And, Mr. Young, if you want just engine, do high rocks.
I am considering it completely. I will see how this year's quarters and semis are programmed. And if they keep pushing just heavy weights, I will switch over to high rocks 100%.
And Tristan was just making a point. He was not, that's not what he believed in. So, all right. So quarterfinals, actually, before we get on the air again next week, the team quarterfinals workouts will be released. They come out next Wednesday to start.
Yes, correct.
Regretfully, Jamie's team did not make it on to quarterfinals. So we don't have an inside look at that. But we'll be watching. Who are you most excited to see how they do in quarterfinals?
I don't know. Maybe Noah's team.
I don't know. I don't know enough about all the teams. Like, I know there's like Kara's team that's really good. Noah's, Chandler's team. I guess I need to see the field, because right now I feel like a lot of scores are getting counted on teams that probably aren't doing right. So, like, that, which is what sucks, right? Because I don't know where you guys finished, Jamie, but I'm sure you guys are getting affected by rosters that are pulling a bunch of different scores. And, like, this is when we're going to see who are the actual members of a team.
And Jamie's team was really close.
Which sucks. I'm sure you guys are in if you take out half of the teams in front of you that aren't even using all their people.
If they could have got one more male finisher on the third event, they'd be in.
I think if we could have gotten five more reps, we'd be in. If he could have gotten like five more muscle ups at the end. Oh, well, is what it is.
Kenneth, no, Mayhem still has a team. Angelo, yeah. Three members are coming back from last year. They substituted, what's her
name? Molly McGrady.
Yeah, not her, but they substituted the one that was
Kyra.
There. Kyra. With Molly McGrady from Michigan.
Yep.
The other three are staying intact. So the team I'm most looking forward to, has nothing to do with the top of the leaderboard. I just want to see them move on. And that is the underdogs team with my one of my favorite people in the world, Mitch McClune, who is Mr. Carey Pierce. Mm-hmm. He is putting together a team with Carson Wolf and gosh, I knew them all and now they just went out my head.
I don't know who's on that team.
We interviewed all of them last year for the semifinal piece. And they put that team together. I love Mitch. Mitch is just one of my favorite people ever. And I want to see how well they do. And those, the girls are young up and comers that a year on team is probably going to be really good for them.
Mm-hmm.
So super stoked for them and can't wait to see what they're doing. Plus it's going to be interesting to see kind of what these European teams, because there's one that got put together, right? With Christoph Horvath.
Jamie, I think it's
Jamie Simmons, Elliot Simmons.
Oh yes.
And the strong, oh my God, what's her name? Mia.
Mia Hesketh.
She's so strong.
Yeah. That's going to be an interesting.
Good at gymnastics too. She's good.
Now, when we see quarterfinals, we'll only see them against their own. Will the leaderboard just be their own region?
Correct.
Okay. We may need to get Holly on, like making a combined one just for shits and giggles to kind of see how everybody's doing.
Yeah. I would think she'd be able to do that fairly easily.
So, anything else about the team? Any workouts? I cannot predict workouts. I know for teams at this point, there is no worm. So it's how do you figure out like teamwork at this stage, probably some synchro stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm probably, there's going to be a relay style.
Yep. Yeah. I talked about this at the end of the verses. Haley and I were talking about it, about missing out and what we might do this week. And we said maybe when the workouts come out, especially if there is a female-female pairing, maybe we'll still do it. And I'm just very curious to see them because usually there's like one workout that is very similar to the individuals. Like they did the pairing of the clean, heavy clean and jerks and I don't know if their burpee back jump over was in it, but like they have a one work that like mimics the individuals. So I'm just curious to see the team workouts and see if we can glean anything from them.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. We'll have lots to talk about next week because those workouts will be out.
Yeah.
We'll probably see some YouTube stuff.
Yeah.
And I want to finish up with next week. We're starting a new, or this week, starting a new show, Easter night. And it is, if you've not seen it out on YouTube yet, the Zombie Clydesdale Weekend Retest. And this is going to be a look back at the week that was in our, a little bit of news, a little bit of humor, a little bit of stuff like that. It's going to be fun.
Is it always going to be Sunday nights? What time?
I think it's going to be Sunday nights at 8 is what we're shooting for. We were doing that with Jamie and the open workouts and going over them. So we're just going to keep that time slot because it's there's nothing else going on Sunday nights. And it's kind of let you look back at the week that was before you head into the week that it is going to be.
Awesome.
And we've got some content already brewing to hand out, and I can't wait to share it. First week will probably be a train wreck as we're trying to figure out timing and all that kind of stuff. But, hey, that might be fun too. But, yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting take on some things. If you follow Wad Zombie on Instagram, you know his sense of humor. So we like to call it a combination of Weekend Update from Saturday Night Live and like The Daily Show or John Oliver. And then Kenneth, I think last time I talked to him, said Tosh 2.0 or Tosh 0.0.
Yeah.
Something like that. So it's going to be similar to that, but done around the CrossFit, pop culture, and probably a little bit of news. that we seem to think is funny. So with that, anything to add, guys, before we get off the air?
Nope. I riffed enough.
All right. Well, we will catch everybody next week on Thursday Night CrossFit Talk for the team quarterfinals. Bye, guys. See you guys. C4 Energy, Extend, and CelluCore are delivering the most effective, best tasting, and highest quality products for you. Get 20% off when you use the code Clydesdale at checkout at C4energy.com. That's C4energy.com. And now back to the interview.